Welcome back to the Nasman Hockey Podcast. Quick episode today. We ran into some technical difficulties, and James has an appointment in a little bit, so hopefully we're not too rushed. It feels like there's so much and so little to actually discuss. We always joke we're going to get through the episode quick, and it winds up being a long time. And obviously, you know, thinking about that joke, I was doing the dishes before. I have so much, and again, so little to actually say. It's been a maddening week in addition to last week. So it's been now half a month worth of just a different kind of March Madness. I don't know, James, if you're into college basketball. I'm not. I don't know anything about it. But the Islanders have given us a different kind of madness. And
yeah.
It's made a long season that's been very unpredictable more upsetting. You know, we've been saying for a long time, it's just been, oh, I can't believe there are 40 games left. And now we're down to the wire here, you know, maybe less than a dozen games left. And I can't wait for it to be over. We'll get into a bunch of stuff, and obviously we have notes and all this stuff, but like just a broad overview, like where are you at? Especially, you know, without giving too much away, obviously you were at the game in the press box with the Devils, and the Islanders played on Sunday. From that perspective and just kind of a general overview, like as an Islander fan, you know, like where are you at?
It's just strange. You know, the team that had, and I want to preface this by saying everything I'm about to say is not on the shoulders of Patrick Roy. He's doing what he can with this, you know, roster that he has, and maybe, you know, reaching back from last week where, you know, we mentioned that maybe there's something rotten in that room. I'm not sure, but they just don't have that chemistry like they used to. You know, they're not that team anymore that you're circling on your calendar and being like, you know, they might not be the most skilled team, but they're going to grind you and they're going to really, you know, make you work for it. Now it's just kind of like, you know, this team that is presented in front of the opposition is just like, yeah, okay, we know how to get around this, and we're going to do it.
But it's not even that. It's not even getting around, right? I think that's a really good way to start the show. I don't know that I put it specifically in my notes, so I'm happy that you brought it up. This just isn't that team anymore. They're not, like we said last week, you know, they're not hard to play against. This isn't the team at all. And it really wasn't the following year. It sure as hell wasn't last year. And this is just a repeat of last year, but worse somehow. And at least we didn't think they were good all of last year. Like, I think it was a pretty even, like, who is this team? Are they good? And this year we've seen like, wow, this team is simply, they just do not have it. There is something missing or wrong or rotten or whatever. But this just isn't that team from the Barry Trotz era. And I think we tried to hold on to that because they were good and they were successful. And you want to believe that a lot of those same guys could just carry that out going forward. And then there was a lot of turnover. Whether it's easy to see or not, like you squint your eyes, it's the same team, but it's really not. There's been some significant changes since then. Even going back to Trotz's first season, 18-19, with as Mike Lieboff of Islanders Anxiety says, after that guy who was drafted before Victor Hedman left Long Island, They're just not that team anymore. And I think this might be the hardest offseason because, not to skip way ahead, but if nothing changes, I don't know how you retain your fans. Like, they're going to have us because we're masochists. And I've watched the team since these stupid jerseys that are right over my shoulder for you watching on YouTube, the fisherman and post-fisherman era jerseys. So, but for everybody else, we were talking last week maybe a little bit about the ticket prices and and transportation to and from the game, like, you're going to lose a lot of people. And it's going to be really, really embarrassing going into the All-Star game at UBS. And I said this to you, maybe in a text, maybe on the show, how embarrassing it's going to be when this team sucks and is the center of attention.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough look.
If they can't turn around.
If they can't turn around, I'm not sure we get there yet. You know, I think that although we do say this a lot, I do think there is at some point, you know, this sense of like, look, we can't keep saying that we believe in this team and this being the result, you know, so there has to be some sort of serious, I don't know if you could do an overhaul just because you're locked into what you're locked into, but some serious culture shock, right? Like, and I'm not advocating for this, but maybe that means trading Brock Nelson this offseason and getting, you know, not something in return for him per se, but something else. And that's not to say that Brock Nelson is the problem either. It's just, what's the major culture shock that's going to, you know, kick this team in the pants?
I don't think that's it necessarily. I understand what you're saying. And a Nelson type and no movement and no trades don't mean no trades. You follow? Like, it doesn't mean they got these, right? These players can't be moved. Well,
here's where I'm going with this. What I mean by this is, you know, maybe they need to make that big move like Florida did, right? Always kind of middling. And then they made it a huge shocker and got somebody like a Matthew Tkachuk. And I'm not saying, you know, those guys grow on trees and he's out there, but someone who's going to, you know, do that type of Tkachuk thing that gets under everyone's skin and energizes the bench and has this way of swaying the momentum of a game. Like, because when you look at a guy like Tkachuk, and again, these guys don't grow on trees. This is not going to be an easy thing to do. But when you're locked into these contracts and your team is built the way it is, you don't really have the choice to do a rebuild, in my opinion, because first of all, Lamoriello is in charge. He's not going to strip it down and restart. Second of all, you know, with again, like I said, the contracts looking the way they do, like, no one's taking these. So you have to do something that's going to be so different in the sense of that you're bringing in someone that is going to, you know, I guess bring what the fourth line used to bring, because they're not really doing that anymore. You know,
this is a team that is not competent. Like, did you see the three players run into each other?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not what this season is in a nutshell, not to use a cliche, but this team isn't competent. Like, they don't know what they're doing out there. It is, whether it's a bad penalty, quite literally running into one another, not clearing the puck, just watching Anders Lee fumble fuck his way up the boards, watching McLean just unable to capture the puck in the corner. He is alone, and he spends about 10 seconds just trying to get the puck on a stick. It looked like me in a men's league game at 10 p.m. I understand what you're saying, and there needs to be an injection of something. I think that energy and tenacity, if they're going to try to retool to be who they used to be, they just need good players, man. This fucking ain't it. This group, I don't really give a shit. They have Fashing and McLean. They're not being used properly right now because you still have two bozos who can barely skate out there in Martin and Clutterbuck. Like, they have that. They're not being utilized properly. And I don't, if you're looking at Roy, Jesus, why do I keep doing that? I like see his name. He's been out of my mind too long. I'm still working on it. If you're looking at what Wah is doing, he's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You can only do so much. So you need some balance in your top nine. You need a little bit of something going on. You know, he sits Martin for Holmstrom in yesterday's game against the Devils. I don't know. I can't remember what the actual lines were. At a certain point, I just stopped caring about that, and they need to win a hockey game. I can't think about that too. But at least who's in the lineup, it's just not working. There are a bunch of players. The D isn't working. Dobson and Romanov cannot do it on their own. Sorokin is worn down. It looks terrible. I know we're not worried about him.
It's
not good. You know, this is a league of what have you done for me lately, and that is not great. So he can be a Vezina candidate all he wants. Last year, he's not getting the support, and that's fine. In the process, he's also not looked good, and it's both a comedy of errors and regular errors. Like it's a bunch of players just getting old, and then on top of that, even seemingly okay players just not playing well. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's definitely not great. And you know, I was talking to somebody the other day when I was at the game, you know, just about some of the lineup decisions, like Martin wasn't in the lineup, and you know who plays up and down the lineup and where they play. And you know, one of the interesting things, and really just like a signal to where the team is at right now, is you know, Martin was a scratch in a rivalry game, if you will, right? In division rival, both kind of still in the playoff hunt. And you know, I'm not sitting here saying that they're both going to make it, but I mean, I think they both, you know, both sides, those players in those rooms don't sit there and say to themselves, yeah, we're out, we're going to mail it in. It's not the kind of teams or players that they are, especially not really anybody at the NHL level is. But Matt Martin wasn't in, which is pretty significant in, you know, a decently important game. And, you know, this person said to me, well, you know, I just don't think he can play in back-to-back games anymore. I don't think he has that in him. And I, you know, when I heard that, I was like, shit, like, you know, it's a good point. You know, where I guess we're at that point where, yeah, Martin's old and he's slow. And yes, he's beloved and, you know, he's an important voice. But that's about it. The on-ice product, it's not there anymore. You know, Clutterbuck, he's been healthy. Potted a couple goals the other night. You could still see him retiring after this season. You know,
he's just not an Islander after this season. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
And he's not going to sit around in as a Ross Johnston type, and the Islanders don't need him to do that,
right?
That takes up a valuable roster spot for somebody that you're going to, you know, give the Noah Dobson treatment to. You know, there's a really good chance Walsham's not back. Holstrom has not been great. I think he's young enough that you give him another shot next season he was good under certain circumstances, and you need to kind of rekindle what that is and try to figure that out again. But there's at least three roster spots open. Lineup, there's a couple in the lineup, and at least three, you know, when you add Walsham into that, overall, I just don't, after that, I don't really know what it looks like. And there's room there. I think the Martin thing is a very good point. It's interesting. I didn't really consider that it was back to back there. I think what I get worried about is, Palmieri had a quote after the game. Andrew Gross tweeted it out. He said that wasn't a good game from us. I don't think we challenged their D enough. Their goalie, it was kind of a shitty game and a shitty result for us. And I quote tweeted that from our account, and I guess it's a question for you. It's a little rhetorical, but what was different about Sunday's game that it yielded this reaction versus any of the previous shit shows. You've lost now 7 of 8. Per Money Puck, you have a 5.3% chance of making the playoffs. Last week we said, is this a mirage? You said no. You know, they lost some games. They can come back here. They lose against Detroit last week following our episode. They rally against Winnipeg. You're like, okay, that's a lot of goals against a really good team. Like,
right.
I don't love the result of the Wings game, especially because that was a 4-point game. But, oh, okay, let's get it back. New Jersey's kind of flailing. Goalie, who knows what it's going to be. You know, let's see who they play on Saturday. And it's just Guy. He looks like a made-up character when you play too many years of GM mode in the old NHL games when you just all of a sudden these draft picks came in. You're like, that's not a real person. And gets his first career shutout. And right. The first shutout for the Devils of the season. What was different about that game yesterday that all of a sudden you're like, wow, that was shitty?
I think it was just the lack of coordination, of chemistry.
But that's been the whole season.
I know, but it was like extra bad. You know, I mean, given, you know, the reference you made earlier, that crash into, you know, the three-player car crash scene was just insane. But that was just like an ode to how it's been going and the season, right? How it's been. You know, in the same vein, they got goalied. Like, Kakinen played an incredible game. He stopped like almost 4 goals above expected. Like he made 4 saves above expected, which is, you know, significant in this storyline too. However, no excuses. You know, the chances were there, but the secondary chances weren't really there. They couldn't string 2 passes together. You know, so it was just really a lot of border play.
It was, they were going through the motions. It looked a lot like Pierre-Luc Dubois in, you know, his last days in Columbus. Or it was a lot like everybody was Pierre Engvall to go on the Pierre route. Like it just, everybody, to use a Capuano quote, and I think Trotz uses too. Everyone, there were too many passengers, right? That was a Capuano.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Nobody was engaged in the game as significantly as they needed to. And yeah, I'll give it to Kakinen. He played a good game, but you kind of didn't really have that many chances. Like, he saved the rare opportunities that you were throwing at him, but you should have had way more, and you were blowing it. Horvat could have had, instead of tying the game 1-1, I believe, you went down 5-on-3 and immediately down 2. Then the car crash scene, and then all of a sudden you're down 3-0 in the first 10 minutes of the second.
Yeah, here's this statistic. Okay, giveaways. Okay, the Devils had 2, the Islanders had 13, and over the course of 3 periods, you give away, you know, you average that to what, 4 a period, you know, a little less. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's bad. You know, that's every other, you know, first or second line shift, there's the puck being given away per period. So look, I think that's the crux of it right there. Just not being able to, you know, they outshot the Devils in the first period, right? But despite that, it was a good period for the Devils. Like, again, like I said earlier, they limited the, you know, the opportunities for the Islanders to perimeter chances and never really had puck possession, right? The Devils had the puck on their stick far more often. So it was more of a quantity over quality type thing for them. And it was like, and to borrow a line from you, it was almost like the puck was a grenade on the end of their stick. How fast can I get this off? How fast can I get this puck away from
them? They're not comfortable. And that's what I say. Like,
right.
It looks like a beer league game, you know, having where these players, someone just gets the puck on their stick in the neutral zone and just cannot wait to get it off. There's no patience. There's no poise. They don't look professional. And that's why I say, like, yes, I think a Brady Tkachuk type would be a very Islander thing, where just that toughness and skill. But I think you have that in like a Bo Horvat and stuff, like, or a lesser extent Palmieri. He's not nearly as good as Bo Horvat, but he, you know, he brings a little spice there. I don't know what I think the question we asked a while ago is, what is the Islanders' identity? They're going to have to completely tear that to the ground. Not necessarily the roster. They are going to need to figure out what their new identity is. I think through this season, from the fans' perspective, it was now going, you know, from 2011 to now is a specific identity. They couldn't always make it work and make it playoff worthy and make a run with it. But for a long time, Islander hockey was a certain thing. They peaked with it at a certain point with Trotz, and then that was it. Now it's got to be something different. And I think it starts with some, you know, roster reconstruction in some way. But, you know, I think a lot of the problem is with the players. I don't love how Wah is handling this either, though. The weird comments, again, I think he's kind of doing what he can with the players that he has, but we battled hard and that's not what our fans like. All that stuff was very Capuano, Doug Waite kind of stuff. Like, that seemed like kind of, I love Wah. I still almost cannot believe he's here. I can't believe something else I made a comment on during the game yesterday or near the end. I can't believe the Islanders players, that's how they're choosing to play in front of Patrick Wah.
Yeah, that's...
They're happy with that? That's fucking embarrassing. As a player, this guy is top five goalie of all time. You've all watched him growing up. That's how you're going to play in front of him? Forget about being afraid of Lamoriello or whatever. That's how you're going to play in front of Patrick Wah. I don't even know what to say. They're comfortable with that. And then on top of that, Wah is like playing into it. I think I don't know what's more concerning, that these players don't give a shit, that they're embarrassing themselves in front of a Hall of Famer, or that the Hall of Famer is also like, yeah, it do be like that sometimes.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Take the action on any of the NHL's upcoming games, including Lightning Panthers, Rangers Islanders, or Avalanche Oilers. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 186 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League.
It's funny because I was talking to somebody about, you know, this as well. I wonder if he's almost just like out of answers. And
it certainly looks like that.
You don't want to hear that for somebody who's so new, but it makes a little bit of sense just because the last guy was out of answers too.
He never had it.
Hold on. Because I was talking to somebody about this, again, in the Islander organization just yesterday when I was at the game. And he said, look, Lambert was flawed, but he wasn't the problem. The problem is on the ice. Look, was he a good motivator? Not really. Did he handle the media well? No. You know, God only knows if he was handling the room the right way. But, you know, Patrick Waugh, he's, you know, and I was talking to this person about, you know, Travis Green and the situation where, you know, he's, you know, now the interim head coach of the Devils. And I'm like, you know, he's a really good hockey mind. He's, I think he's really smart. I was like, but he doesn't have that fire in him to really get the Devils, I think, over the hump, right? He's changed some technical things on the ice and they look better for it and everything like that, but they put up a stinker every once in a while. And I think it's because he doesn't have that fire. And this person said to me, Patrick Waugh is the opposite. He's not the greatest hockey mind. He's not the most analytical. He's not the smartest guy, but he's got the fire and he can get that team motivated. So they're maybe perhaps, and this is about the Islanders, perhaps missing somebody who could do both. Now, that's not to say that Waugh can't be that guy. He can certainly evolve into that guy. And he's doing everything he can right now with what he's got. But I just thought that was really interesting to hear that he's, you know, he's the fire. He's got that part of it. And he can get them to work kind of like a Tortorella. But maybe the structure needs some work. And maybe that's why he brought in that guy. I forget how to pronounce his name. Benoit. Something French.
Rosier. Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. And that might be, you know, what we're working with here with Patrick Waugh in his first, you know, half season as coach. I think he's at a loss for words, and you hate hearing that, you know, at the point they're at right now in the season, you hate hearing that from, you know, someone who's brand new. But in the same breath, I think it really speaks to the fact that it's not behind the bench anymore. It's on the ice. The problems are the guys dressing.
I'll say this, and I've said it a lot. I think it was always both. It was just as much on the players and the leadership. Obviously, you know, neither of us would have the opportunity to ask a player, even though you're on the kind of the press and the media side of things. I don't know that you would ask this as bluntly to, you know, having a chance to speak with Anders Lee or any of the leadership. Like, what the hell's going on? Do you have a handle on this team? Like, because it is very clear that they fucking don't. And you can have the best motivator behind the bench. If you're dealing with a bunch of players that are going through the motions and don't care. And just before you respond, I want to read a tweet from Sean Cuthbert of Hockey Night New York that I thought really just hit the nail on the head for me. And I think it's very relevant to this conversation. He said, from my point of view, which like most is far away from the locker room, this Isles team just looks fatigued, as in a group that has collectively run its course and needs a retool. They had a fun resurgence we haven't seen around here in a long time, and we're finally seeing it sputter out. So you can have the best coach in the world. The roster just kind of, I think, you know, whether or not it's a Kachuk type, I think is irrelevant, but they need an injection of something. They need a new identity, whatever that could be. Speed, that could be high octane offense, that could be Ilya Sorokin is your identity, that could, whatever that is, whether that means it's all new players or not. Maybe Waugh hasn't had the opportunity to really put into place what he thinks the team's identity is in the middle of the season. He hasn't been able to really look at all the tape and spend that time that he would normally over the course of the summer and preseason, training camp and so forth. It's possible that works, but I think it's more than that. I think Sean is absolutely right here.
Yeah, and you know, just to go back to what you said earlier, like what's it like for the team in the room? Like if you could ask them, I don't have to ask this question to see there's certainly frustration. I mean, look at Anders Levy all night.
Yeah, but that's bullshit.
He threw a bad check. That's an ugly check that he threw.
Terrible.
And you know, Meyer steps in, drops the mitts with them, and look, Lee's got to receive that, right? Not saying he has to sit there and get his face punched in, but you know, the takedown was initiated, right? They both fell to the ice. Anders Lee was still throwing punches. Gotta be honest, I'm a little surprised I didn't see anything from the Department of Player Safety today on the hit and then on him punching a player who was already taken down. The fight's over. And he was continuing to throw punches.
I did notice that. So here's the question. Frustration at what? You know when you do something dumb or something that you're not happy with and you get aggravated? Yeah. Is it that or are you just like, is it two things can be true? I have a feeling, and I hate making references to like when I used to play because obviously I'm not a professional, but I do remember.
You sure?
I professionally suck. And professionally play at 10 o'clock at night in a beer league. I do remember especially when I was really young, but even as I got older and there was hitting and things like that, and it got just more competitive. It was a higher level and things like that. Just after games, whether it was my grandpa or my mom or coach or somebody just would come up to me and is like, you just let him get to you. And you were, I noticed 5 minutes into the game, you were done. You were ineffective the rest of the game. You were just pissed at whatever. You made a mistake and you were angry. Someone kind of got under your skin and that was it. Your focus was just gone. And this is a team that looks a lot like that. Having been in that position, and it's taken me a long time in just my life to just not get like that. It seems like it's a team that's just frustrated in their own head. It's not even gripping your stick too tight. It's just unfocused. And it's only gotten worse as the season has gone on. Because then you're actually starting to lose. The results aren't going your way. It's not like you're winning and you're just mad at the way you've played. You're mad at the way you're playing. You're mad at the way your teammates are playing. You're mad at your coach for a while because he's an idiot. He finally gets fired. You're motivated for half a second with Wah. And then that's it. It just goes away. You know, I don't know that they're mad at someone like Ilya Sorokin, but like, just you're looking back there and God, that's one you wouldn't have, Ilya. Like why? That's a soft goal for you. Like you're better than that. And then you're worried about everybody else too. And you're being extra hard on yourself. This isn't a team that's been focused the entire season. And this goes back to last year. And I think it's 2 years of this. God, I don't know what the hell Lambert did over the summer and in training camp in the preseason. Cause it wasn't get this fucking team back on track. We were in whatever that was, October, November, December. It was very funny, but everyone was like, oh, nom, 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 loser point. And that's maybe the only reason they're in this position, but it could have been the other way where this was a team that would be well in a playoff spot by 10 points if they had just won half the games they lost in overtime or didn't blow those games. And because I had some time today and I pulled together tweets and looked up stuff. Eric Hornick said they've allowed 46 tying goals in the third period, 33 different games, 9 with 2 and 2 with 3. They're 16, 6 and 11 in those games, 23 points lost. Like, and it doesn't include games like Saturday where they led the whole third period. 23 points, half of those, and you're in comfortably. You're battling for third in the division with the Flyers. You're comfortably in that first wild card. 11 points. I don't even know what the I honestly couldn't even look at the standing this morning. I'd be so mad.
Yeah.
Like yeah. 11 more. And forget about who you would have beaten, right? They would have had 86 points. You are comfortably in third in the division. Let's for funsies, say that you actually beat teams like the Flyers and the Capitals and Detroit, all games of which they've lost this season, maybe just one each. You are comfortably in a playoff spot. I don't think that's asking for much. Don't shit your pants. Don't just absolutely play like shit in the third period and forget who you are, or the second period for that matter.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that was what was the most demoralizing thing about the other night, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, how they play in the third periods and everything. Like, again, they put up, it looks like they put up a lot of shots because they did, you know. I'm not saying it looks like it because I don't know. I'm looking at it, right? 13 in the first period, 10 in the second period, another 13 in the third period, 36 shots on net. You know, that's decent. But, you know, the shots were not an indicator of puck possession. They weren't an indicator of the puck play. You know, winning the board battles and, you know, all those little things, it just wasn't an indication of how they played. And as the game went on, they played well in the first period. I could say, you know, it was a good period for the Islanders. You know, no, they come out of the first 20 minutes with no score, which is fine. You know, but then second period, you know, the Devils just swallowed them. And in the third period, you know, they digested them. Like, it was just, that's how it went. You know, instead of bursting out of the belly of the beast, they got digested and that was it.
They looked defeated.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's really probably what, you know, Paul Murray was saying. You know, he had that really good quote from a colleague, Andrew Fattuccino. Fantuccio, sorry. Fucking brutal, he said.
Yeah, but I said before, why is that? Why are you that frustrated now?
Yeah.
3 months ago, this was not different. Pre-Patrick Waugh. Where were you weren't there for all the, I just rattled off 33 different games with multiple goal leads in the third period and how many points they lost.
Yeah.
There's a quote from, I think it's the inaugural Washington Capitals. I feel like Jeff Merrick for a second. Dan from Anxiety, will make fun of me. There's a quote from the inaugural season of the Washington Capitals, and they were terrible. Like 9-72-3 or whatever. It's absolutely ridiculous. They lost an amazing amount of games. And something, I'm paraphrasing, he said, "I wish my wife was cheating on me rather than losing all these games. At least I could tell her to knock it off." I guys, knock it off. You like, at any point you could have been like, we were playing like shit. Who's stepping up in that locker room? Again, that I think there's a lot on the players to be like yelling at each other. Wah, yeah. Getting in their face. You know, he's a fiery dude. Anything. I don't know. There's just no bite to their game. They don't want to be there. It was like an inconvenience. And, you know, Dan made a good point on Twitter too. He's like, you know, I think we've all been at work when we just kind of mailed it in a little bit. The Islanders are just at work and mailing it in a little bit.
Yep.
It sucks that we don't have, I don't have fans at my job. You know, no one's really paying attention and following along quite like this. There's no passion. No one's following my mom, but no one's like following my career closely and putting posters of me on their wall. But like, yeah, I think two, really three seasons of disappointment have fully caught up to them, and they don't have the answers. Wah hasn't been around long enough to figure out even the right questions to be asking. And the really the question, because this is kind of a postmortem on the entire season at this point. Now what? And we've kind of asked that a few times, but we're definitely saying, it feels like we're going to be saying goodbye. Really, I think I've fully kind of resigned to the fact, I believe it more than ever that Lamorel is done. This can't go on. There is no, like I said, UBS just got the All-Star game. This team needs to be humming by 2026. Humming.
Yeah.
Not like the Flyers, accidentally good on purpose. They need to be
like the Panthers.
They need to be good. I don't give a shit who they're good like. They could be good like Tampa. They could be good like the Avalanche. I don't give a fucking shit. Just good. No fan cares what this identity is. It's not like this town needs a blue collar. No one cares. Be good. Be good. That's it. Don't suck. Stop with this. You had a chance, you know, something about a tree in 20 years ago. This summer is plant the tree. Be good. Change it. Lamorello, if it's him, change. Do literally anything. If it's not, make the whole sell. Do it early. There is no fucking reason there's no reason for him to make any comment on this team unless he's continuing. If he's gone, just cut him. The second game 82 ends, cut him loose. Do not let him speak and do his own postmortem on the season. He does not deserve it. If he's continuing, I don't think he deserves it, but he's a GM. Continue as you were. Not as you were. Do better. But you know what I mean. You just have kind of nonsense happening here. You need complete, other than Wah and the coaches he's brought in, get Doug Huda, get him out of here. That penalty kill is horse shit. See ya. I don't care. McLean, he's been around a long time, I think. Get out of here. Like, it's you need a different culture and identity on this team. And it cannot be any holdovers. If you can't get the players out, you got to move everybody else. And leave other people behind. Clutterbuck, I'm really sorry. Martin, I'm really sorry. Wallstrom, see ya. It as much wholesale as you can make it. And if you can move somebody else, do it. Now is the time. You have a year left of some people. You have 2 years left of some people. You can move a Peugeot. You probably can move a Palmieri. You might be able to move a Lee. I really don't think you move Nelson unless you're getting some sick return. I think there's plenty of other players you can try to get the hell out of here. It does not need to be him. There are other options. There are other teams that it's possible. God, this is annoying. What a horrible season. What a horrible season.
Yep.
I think it's been like you knew the Islanders were bad in other seasons in the past. Like, we've been fans a long time. This team has sucked a majority of that time. This feels almost the worst. It wasn't even like the letdown season after with Trotz. There's enough excuses you can kind of like let it happen. Then they make the playoffs last year and they play like shit. And you're like, Barzal got hurt. I'm like, fuck. That's right. Yeah. Now it's like, dude, I guess we knew all along. We were just like waiting for not to have any excuses left because this feels like who the team is. This is who we've known who this team is. And now you're three coaches later or on your third coach. It might just be time, dude. It's the guys on the ice. You can have a lot of cooks with shitty ingredients. You're probably not going to get a whole lot done. You're not going to make a beautiful meal out of it. it's all going to look pretty similar. And that's what we've seen. With the exception of Horvat and Barzell and Dobson and Sorokin. And Nelson, obviously, another 30-goal season. I don't know. Disappointing. I don't even know. I don't even know how you, after this, how we do another episode. We'll figure it out somehow. But it feels like that was the end. That Devils game felt like it was the end of the season.
We're going to take a week. We're going to refresh, and we're going to come back next week with a cooler head on the situation.
I hope so. It really doesn't help that they go back-to-back games and after Thursday's loss too, and just, yeah, and then we do a show. Anything else you want to add here?
That's really it. I think you nailed it, and it's time to reflect and digest on what the fix is here, because I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's only so creative you can be, right? Because so much of it is unknown. You don't even know who's going to be making the decisions. It's entirely possible It's not the same person. So
yeah,
there's even homework there. I'm not sure what that looks like either. Before we do our end of show thing here, Dan and Mike are doing their live podcast or an event at Offside Tavern. Go check that out. If you're in the area, you're in New York, you're on Long Island, New Jersey, go. I imagine we have a lot of crossover listeners. Go check that out. I'm sure it's gonna be really cool. I kind of wish I was in town so I could go wear your weird Islanders gear. I hope they take a ton of pictures. I really want to see the gear and the paraphernalia that people bring. I'm sure that would be an Isles eBay wet dream, going down and seeing all that stuff. My Casperitis jersey would be the least weird thing, I'm sure. But go check that out. I like I said, I wish I could go. I'm sure it's really cool. Support of our friends. Please rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to watch our show. Twitter, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Nessman Hockey, mostly Twitter. You can find James' work at New Jersey Hockey Now, which hurts a little more to say today. James, I don't know what we do now. How do we do this? How do we end this?
Until next time, grab some tissues. Wipe the tears. We'll figure this out.